And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program as we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Very easy to find. And we encourage you to check out our schedules page of the programs that we have coming up in the next couple, 3 months. Matter of fact, we're booking up time slots like you wouldn't believe. There are times when I don't want to book too far in advance, because when I get somebody that I get in touch with and I'm going, boy, this would be wonderful for the program, and then I'm booked up too far in advance. So would you like to talk in 2013? Well, we're not quite booked up that far, but it's a lot of fun doing the program, and we encourage you to check out the archives and tune in every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Today we're going to be talking about loving your life. I love this. Free of charge. Free of charge. It is not going to cost you a dime to love yourself. It's basically clearing the emotional blocks that stop you. And Adara Ann Adriana is my guest. She is the author of the book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge. And welcome to our program. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's great to finally be here, as you say, Richard. We talked about this some time ago.
I have a funny feeling that we probably scheduled this interview probably back in January or February of this year.
Yes, sir, we did.
But we set it up. We went ahead and did that because it seemed to be the best time available. And yet, it turned out that you actually have a lot of things going on. You have a lot of changes in your life, moving and so forth. And this kind of is appropriate, because when we have changes going on in our lives that sometimes feel a little bit out of our control, you know, we wonder, what have I done? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? How do I stop it? How do I get off of this roller coaster, so to speak, or the merry-go-round, as it were? Loving ourselves, and I've been seeing a lot more, especially on the internet and the sites that I go to and the people that I'm connecting with, about clearing the emotional blocks. Nothing new. I mean, that seems to be the main issue for us as humans when it comes to moving on to what we like to talk about on this program as fulfilling our dreams. You know, what is your passion? Well, here's my passion, but for some reason I can't make it happen. It's just not working. Usually,
exactly.
It's due to these blockages.
Yes.
Tell us about why they're emotional blockages as opposed to, say, mental or spiritual, let alone physical blockages.
Well, you know, what I like to say about that is if you look at Western civilization, actually you could look at the whole planet as a whole, we have made heroes and wealthy people who are brilliant in any of the other domains. So if you're brilliant in spirituality, we make you a guru and we bring you flowers and money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're brilliant in your mental body, we make you a CEO and do the same thing. If you're brilliant in your physical body, we call you an athlete and pay you millions of dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on this planet, for thousands of years, we have culturally taught people to avoid their emotional body. We've made it unacceptable in our families, unacceptable in our workplaces, and my personal observation is what we're looking at on the planet, if there were a single cause for it, that would be it. So we have, as a culture, taught in our schools, in our media, taught people to suppress, repress, deny, and if in worst case, when the emotions come up, then throw them across horizontally at someone else in a way that's so painful for everyone, it reinforces the belief, boy, these things are dangerous, and let's just stay away from them, you know?
Yeah. What would we call somebody? I mean, you've already listed like those three aspects. What would we call somebody who is, I don't want to use the word superior emotionally, but who has control of their emotions that we would pay millions of dollars to, like the CEOs who are intellectual or the athlete who's physical? What would be the equivalent of an emotional person in our day and age? Or is there such one?
Well, you know, what I would say is it's not the verb of control. Mm. I believe it's the verb of flow.
Okay.
So it would be, you know, it would be an emotional flow fleet.
Okay.
A flow fleet.
A flow fleet. All right. We'll go with that one.
As opposed to an athlete.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it just seems to me that this whole subject of emotions, and we can get into the aspects I want to say stereotypical, and maybe not the word isn't stereotypical, but the common blockages for men versus women, and yet as humans in general. And it does seem to be for men in particular, and then women who are trying to be men, if you will, you know, in terms of the workplace and so forth, you don't get into your emotions at all. That is not the place. Business is the last place that you want to be emotional, whether it's crying, especially for men, or for that matter, even happy.
Right.
Even enjoying what you're doing.
Right.
And it seems to me, if you're enjoying what you're doing, you darn well better be happy. Don't shut that off.
Exactly.
So give us some more pointers on as far as what we can look for. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to move through my life. I want to be emotionally flowing. I don't want to get stuck, which maybe that's the bottom line is we're stuck, aren't we? That's really what it is.
Well, what I would say is, you know, what I discovered in my near-death experiences, literally, and what I think is unique about my book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge, is, as you were saying, Richard, the awareness of emotional blockages and how to clear them, that is not new. And there are lots of people talking and writing about it. What's unique about my book, though, is that because I used it to save my life, and it's all I did for 10 years, at sometimes for 20 hours a day because of the health crisis I was in, I learned faster and quicker and simpler ways of doing it, and it's gotten distilled down to a Picasso-esque one line is now a woman, you mm-hmm. know, its essence. And what I saw was it's a kind of spiritual physics. When we have an experience, and as you say, it can be on either polarity, the polarity of something we're really enjoying or the polarity of something we're not. But when we have an experience and we don't allow it to complete, you know, everything in form, including us, expresses as either a particle or a wave. And so our experiences can be seen to be waves as well. And when we're living in heaven on earth, we're in the flow with the wave. We allow the wave to do its waveness. It starts, it builds, it peaks, and then it dissipates. And that's what living on heaven on earth is. When Jesus in the Bible says, lest ye be like little children, ye shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the quality of being childlike? Being childlike is, I stub my toe and I'm, oh, I stubbed my toe. And then 2 minutes later, a butterfly goes by and I go, oh, pretty butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So a full, free expression until it completes, and then no identity, no residue, like a total resetting back at the zero point and available for the next experience.
And you know, if you're an adult and you do that, you're a nut. You are not connected to the real world. And I find that fascinating, that the childlike response, and we've talked about that many times on this program, as you've just described, of being in the now, being in the moment, is what the child is doing. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
Well, the reason, and let me talk about it now from a compassionate point of view, because it's a wave, and energy is neither created nor destroyed. So when we block, when I block something because it's too much, and that's the only reason we do, we block it because it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be too much pain, too much love, too much fear, too much anything. We decide it's too intense for us, right?
Mm.
And so when we block it, we literally say no. So we're making a mental body choice of no. And my observation is in the exact moment we do that, we contract some part of our body with that no. And then what happens is the unexpressed emotional energy that would have, if we'd been childlike, been allowed to complete, now has to go somewhere because it's no longer being expressed out in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in your body-mind. And where it goes is it goes behind whatever muscle you are contracting, held in place by the thought you had that was the no, and it gets stored there as charge. That's what my book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge, that's on my website, www.rainbowcreators.com, is talking about. Simple, fun, fast ways of just letting life show you where your charge is and to clear it quickly.
And we talk about that, especially when it comes to words. When we talk about death and dying, we don't usually use those words because they are so... They're charged, and I refer to them as negatively charged. They're not charged in a way that is supportive and encouraging, if you will, of understanding of the process. So we use the word transitioning. It doesn't have that charge yet, at least not in that direction. But you're talking about literally releasing those charges within our bodies, primarily from those what we call negative emotional responses.
I would say actually incomplete.
Incomplete.
Where we stopped. Something that potential energy wasn't allowed to express and it got stored in the body. So let me make it really practical for you and your
the
listeners.
Flow. Yeah,
you know, if you scan your own body right now and look for any place in your body that isn't feeling peaceful, free flowing, and relaxed, you probably have one or two of your favorite places where you have tension,
mm-hmm.
and you have charge there. You can watch people walking down the street, watch how free their movement is, where their shoulders are, and you can see, as you start getting good at this, you can see where people are holding their charge. Okay? What happens is we're a crazy culture. Health actually is being in a state of peace and joy 24/7. That's healthy. We think that is our Sunday treat that we get as a cherry at the end of our day and fill what we think a normal day is a day that's actually full of charge and builds charge. And the world we're looking at, I think, is a result of that. So my book is pretty radically proposing is that we turn it upside down and let our life, and I work with executives all the time, particularly in this economic crisis where their businesses are faltering and they're blocked. And my advice is to turn the whole ethic upside down and make the number one priority, particularly for the ideational executives, the CEOs, the sole proprietor, the person whose vision is driving the business, the number one priority being clear of charge and not making any decisions or communicating or taking action when you're in a charge state, okay?
Mm.
Because when you're actually in that free state, you can in 5 minutes get the multi-million dollar idea, the rapid solution, the thing that cuts through hours and saves money or creates work or whatever, and it's from a place of ease, joy, and expansion versus struggle and resistance.
You know, that ties into something that I was sharing with someone the other day regarding making choices and working through to the completion of that choice to our dream fulfillment, if you will. And I'd like to maybe have you maybe elaborate further on this, because I believe that, and what I'm understanding you to say, going back to the early part of this program, is we want to get the emotions flowing like water through down a stream. We don't want to block it, because the blockage is the pain that we feel specifically in our physical bodies.
Exactly.
And so I was being asked the question about choice, because we talk about giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true, that you want to do that in – now, I referred to it as a non-emotional state. I said you need to be in your intellect, and that it isn't exactly true, but at least from my example in that situation – I used the example of when I was served with divorce papers on May 1st of 1998. And for the entire month of May, I was in an emotional state. I couldn't think. I couldn't process anything in order to resolve the situation in terms of...
Well, yeah, I'd like to say something radical about this, Richard, because it is not what our culture teaches.
Right.
There's a fabulous institute in Colorado called HeartMath, and they've done some hard science, okay,
mm-hmm.
that actually shows that the state, the high-performance state, is actually a heart-centered state, and that that state creates a larger electromagnetic field that the local mind or the intellect is then entrained to.
Mm.
So I want to kind of heal that split that it's the mind or the emotions. That is not the reality. The reality is when we're relaxed, we are a whole integrated being that can function with all of the parts of the engine functioning harmoniously at the same time. So the intellect can function, the creativity can function, the body functions, the emotions function, your native gut instinct functions. That's all functioning as a whole team in the service of your dream, of your goal.
So the reality of what I was going through had nothing to do with getting out of my emotions. I was stuck. I was blocking.
Yes, exactly. And I don't in any way mean to make you wrong, but it's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
We have on this planet taught people that the problem, the issue, the culprit is the emotion, and it actually isn't. Interestingly enough, it's our freedom. Mm. It's our freedom. See, because what I discovered this the hard way. Every time we block an emotion, we're literally, if you think about ourselves as a conduit that or an antenna that transduces, you know, spiritual or thought energy, creation energy, and material energy, the earth we're standing on, in a very practical way,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we create things, dreams, visions, businesses, families, communities out of that, right? Well, every time I block an emotion, what I'm doing is I'm literally putting sludge in the pipe. I'm literally taking one of the channels of the pipe and closing it down. Every time I do that. So what that means is life force, creativity, new ideas, the right action, the ability to magnetize the people, the resources, the money, the energy to then act, take the action steps that you need to take, starts getting blocked. Okay? And so you're like watching water trying to move through very dense rock. It'll find its way, but there's so much blockage. It's not efficient and it's not fast.
Mm.
When you start, and the executives I've worked with see this, when you turn the world upside down and say, okay, I'm willing to make being clear my number one priority because I've noticed I can get more done in 5 clear moments than in 5 weeks of effort, and that proportion is not off for many people, okay?
Mm.
If I can get truly clear, open, and inspired, where I'm totally open and inspired, I can do so much, manifest so much so quickly. So there's a big payoff, particularly in this economy, a very practical payoff in getting clear of charge, because everything works. Your body works. Your inspiration works. Your mind works. Your ability to think through things works. You are actually magnetic, and you draw to you, you know, the synchronicities, the people, the things that you need to do. So it's our natural state. It's the way we'd be operating if we hadn't been taught that it's unsafe to do this.
Right.
Now, I will also say, when the only way you've ever seen anybody express emotion is suppress and repress it until they're finally an explosion, and then when they explode at someone else horizontally, that only reinforces how unsafe emotions are. And what I teach in my book is what I was shown in my near-death experiences. It's about moving the energy. It's not about flowing it at another person. So one of the things in my book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge, is how you run the energy vertically. So you're not harming yourself or any other person, but you are completing the wave.
That's extraordinary. And by no means do I feel as though that I was wrong in my assessment based upon what you're describing. What we encourage people to do with this radio program, and includes this program with you, Adara, is we encourage people to take what they need, what resonates with them.
Exactly.
I encourage people to go to your website, which is rainbowcreators.com. Check out what you have. See what works for you. If there are things that don't work for you, then don't take them.
Exactly.
It's the equivalent of a smorgasbord, if you will, and there's all kinds of stuff on the table, but you don't have to take it all. And you don't have to take any of it if you don't want to. It's entirely up to you. It's your choice. But we're just putting it out there. And so when you talk about this from the context of maintaining the flow, keeping the emotional energies in particular, as we discuss here, flowing, moving, it that resonates with other elements. And it's funny how even though, yes, I've talked with people about these kinds of things, it hasn't really, I don't know, for some reason it hasn't really clicked until today.
Well, thank you. I take that as high praise, Richard.
Well, now, the thing that we're going to do is we're going to take a short break here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Beth McDonald, our AAA editor, and you'll get an opportunity to hear her. And we're going to come back after that, and we're going to talk more about loving yourself free of charge. Again, clearing the emotional blocks that stop you. And I'm going to try to make sure I'm going to get your name correct again, because it's I find it the height of respect to the other person to pronounce someone's name correctly if that is the name that they have chosen. Mine's fairly easy most of the time. But Adara Anna, it's Adara An Duriana, and she is my guest. And she has a website, and it is, again, called rainbowcreators.com. And when we come back, we'll have Beth McDonald. And I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And we're working towards a level of understanding as we talk more with Adara, and we're going to talk more about loving yourself, basically loving yourself free of charge. Now, of course, I put that in the monetary context, but I guarantee you that it will sort of put you in that context. When you have that energy flowing in your life and you don't have those blockages, guess what money you're not putting out for? Medical bills to relieve the stress and strain in your body. But right now we're going to talk with Beth McDonald, our AAA editor here in Santa Barbara, California on Central Coast, and find out where we are today. What is our... I'll put it this way, Beth, what is our mantra for today, for this week, as we head into the latter portion? I can't believe that it's the latter portion of July.
Yikes. The summer has just flown by this time.
Yeah.
I'm just absolutely shocked by it. If we had to turn this week's astrological math into a soundbite or a mantra, it would be this: discernment, discretion, and valor. Ooh. And in a nutshell, what that means is we are learning how to say the right things in the right way, from the right place, at the right time, to the right people. It's all about appropriate communications.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, Mercury's about to go retrograde, and everything else is in Leo, which is very, very demonstrative.
Another opportunity for self-knowledge, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. This is another learning lab. This is where we get to learn how to mediate, negotiate, be more graceful, really be compassionate. You know, there is so much suffering out there, and we're not taught as a society, at least Americans really aren't, about how to be present with the suffering of others and how to work together as a tribe, or in Leo's case, you know, the pride. Leos are pack animals, you know. It's very much about family and community. And so, you know, this has really been the summer of family and community, and not just our immediate families and our immediate communities, but, you know, as Americans, and then America as part of the global community. You know, the crises are just that big. We have to focus. We have to learn.
And it's interesting that through the quote unquote crises that face us on a global and national and regional level, those kinds of things tend to foster that, don't they? They tend to foster more community because we begin to realize
we are
reliant on one another.
We are interdependent.
Interdependent.
As Stephen Covey so eloquently put. And, you know, the thing, I don't know why this is, but for some reason, very few of us wake up in the morning and just say, wow, I want to be a more virtuous person. I want to be better. I want to do better at this, that, and the other thing. It really takes something external, going away we did not want it to go, in order for us to really
make time in our lives and take the opportunities to stretch and learn and grow and master, yeah. master new things.
I want to have you in studio in the fall to fill a program, fill a full hour
awesome.
Discussing these kinds of things. I'll talk to you about that at a later date,
awesome.
But we'll maybe look into November and have you in here around Thanksgiving, one of the critical and crucial communal times, at least in this country. And we'll see where we are at that point in time.
Yes, and I will have awesome new information because I will just be coming back from a road trip, what part of which is my annual Halloween pilgrimage to Hawaii.
Oh, very
exciting. Where I go.
Yeah, that says Halloween to me, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
think about volcanoes and you know, the kind of...
Yeah.
Phoenix from the ashes kinds of things.
I hear you, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll explain all about it.
All right. Well, we'll have you on around Thanksgiving this year, and again, we'll have you back next week. BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, and it is 963-0842.
Yes. Thanks so much, Richard.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.
And I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
And we are back here on Tell Me Your Story with our guest, who is the author of Loving Yourself Free of Charge, Clearing the Emotional Blocks That Stop You. She has a website. It is Rainbow Creators, that's with an O-R, rainbowcreators.com. And Adara, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to continue our conversation. You had mentioned, as we were conversing in our first segment, that you had at least one, and maybe there were more, near-death experiences. Can you share a little more insight in that? Because it sounds like those were the catalyst that has brought you to this point today.
Yes, you know, in fact, I've been on a book tour, and somebody in the audience said, oh, you make it sound like it came to you, you know, full-fledged, and you're walking on the backs of giants. And I said, well, in my own particular process, I didn't get engaged in studying any of this until after I had the near-death experiences and with her, I had already been given the techniques directly. So I was in the hospital for a surgery and caught a mutated staph that at that time there wasn't Western medicine to deal with. There is now, but it had mutated past medicine at that time. And it was Christmas Eve, and I thought I was dying, and it felt like battery acid being poured on my nerves from the inside out, and there wasn't much they could do about that level of pain. And I got wrapped in rainbow light, and a group of very loving beings taught me how to do the counterintuitive thing. Instead of contracting away from the pain, to actually take my attention, like a loving mother to a baby, a crying baby, to the part of my body where the staph was eating, literally eating me from the inside out, and go be with that part of the body compassionately. And what would happen is I would see this Groundhog Day tape of a particular traumatic moment in my life that part of my body was holding, and it would play over and over again, until I, in intensive care in the hospital, would say, wait a minute, this is not my identity, it's not happening now, this is an experience and it's done. Then it would stop at the moment of the peak in the trauma. It would become a still picture at the peak of the trauma, and that picture would stay on my third eye until I remembered the specific no choice I had made in that moment to stop life, you know, where I had said it was too much and shut it down. And then the minute that I was willing to step back into the yes, the full yes, and say, no, that was an experience, I say, look, but this is the truth, then it would wrap in rainbow light, that energy would dissolve, I'd actually feel in that part of my body, I might feel heat move down and out my legs. I might feel something get softer. But what I noticed is that as I did that, the staff moved somewhere else. So I'm not a doctor, and I don't claim that this is, you know, mm-hmm. medical whatever. But my observation, because I did, for 6 months, that's all I could do, about 20 hours a day. I couldn't sleep. The pain was too intense, and they couldn't medicate it, because at that level, if the level of pain medicine they would have had to give me would have killed me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they just can't. And so it was like being on an extended shamanic journey for 6 months.
Wow.
And so I did this over and over and over again. And then because there were holes in my body in five places where the staff actually ate its way through the air, I caught seven other kinds of infections and spent the next 7 years really dealing with the medical consequences of that had me using this technique, following pain around my body for hours every day. And my book is the distillation of, you know, if you do something millions of times, you eventually get good at it.
Right.
And my book is about, I just started discovering that there's shortcuts, that it doesn't have to be as complicated as all the books or websites out there talk about,
mm-hmm.
that there's some fast, simple, even fun. Imagine that, Richard. Imagine that clearing charge could be fun. I will go you one better. I've actually developed a game. Not only can clearing charge be fun, it can be collective.
Mm.
It can be something that you do that's fun. Imagine that. That's a totally new concept.
Yeah. Now, you were saying collective as well in terms of family, neighbors, community.
Family, neighbors, and my radical thing is work groups.
Oh.
I believe that any business that's going to survive in this economy really needs to get its key executives and key people freed up, because it's the new ideas and it's the efficient use of energy that's going to thrive in this economy. Nothing less than that.
Now you use an example. You use the word expansion when dealing with the emotional blockages, in terms of as opposed to contracting.
Yes.
And I have heard that same word used when describing what you, and I hesitate, the best course of action in business today. And mm-hmm. for the last couple of years is the exact same advice that you give, or direction that you give, when dealing with the issue of the blockages. Expansion.
Exactly.
And yet what has been happening?
They've
been contracting.
Right.
And businesses are dropping like flies.
Well, but this is one of the reasons why, you know, as a coach, for me, the fascination is the nexus between the personal and collective, and actually taking these principles into business and helping people that are trying to make their business work, their community work, give them the tools to actually break themselves and their business free. You know? It's critical right now.
I know that it is. It seems counterintuitive. Look, there's not a lot of money there, and I really have to be careful what I do with what I do have, because I don't know if there'll be more coming in tomorrow. And again, we get into the whole mentality of lack, that there's
right.
not enough, and yet we have had program guests on this program time and time again, and I tend to agree that there is more than enough. There always has been. There will never be a depletion of the things that we want and need to sustain our lives. Now, that doesn't abdicate responsibility for, you know, taking care of our homes and our neighborhoods and
see,
so forth.
What's actually happening, Richard, is that you can't, how do I put this? You know, I became a licensed psychologist, and I ultimately walked away from that on the other side of these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a spiritual or psychological Band-Aid on your emotional body.
Right.
You have to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So often people think, well, I can think my way out of it. Well, no, if what you failed to do in the first place was feel, thinking your way out of it is just going to tie more knots on top of the charge that you already have there.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, from my own perspective, I do these programs every week, been doing them for almost 4 years, been interviewing for over 30 years, talking with, God, I don't know, thousands of people, I suppose. And they bring up things such as what you've brought up, and I go away from these programs and I muse over what I've heard and what we've conversed about, And I think about, gee, okay, well, what do I want in my life? And I start thinking about my dreams and aspirations and my desires and where I'd like to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, what I'd like to be doing, the things that bring me happiness and joy from day to day, whether it's feeding my chickens and being around them or playing with my dogs and cats or being with my wife and watching a favorite movie or television program or walking along the beach. Living here in Santa Barbara has been a huge one for me because I needed to get away from the heat of Phoenix. I needed to get closer to the ocean. I actually didn't know why, and it wasn't so much because of the heat. It was just, you know, I need to get closer to the ocean, and I just do, period. And I do all of these little things, but there's always more. There's always more that I want to do. And I start thinking about those, and there's the sadness that I haven't done them yet. It hasn't happened yet, those kinds of things. Go ahead and feel the sadness. Go ahead and feel maybe the melancholy for a period of time, and then the formulation of the ideas and the concepts that will help to make those dreams a reality will come.
Well, you see, the big thing is what a child does is they don't resist an experience, nor do they attach to it. So what we're afraid of, because we've pushed something away for so long, we can feel we have a toxic waste dump, you know, and we're afraid if we open the lid on that toxic waste dump, we're going to get stuck in there. So one of the things that I teach in my book is you can actually, your relationship with your body is like your relationship with a lover. Okay, most of us are like jilted lovers with our bodies. I certainly was before I had this experience. Mm-hmm. But you can literally have a conversation with your body, and I do this. My friends think I'm funny; they kind of laugh at me. But I've been at parties where I get triggered by something, and my current commitment is I live free of charge. I was 279 pounds, Richard. That was mostly unexpressed stuff that I was carrying because of the unexpressed emotional charge in my body. So I'm a perfect example of you teach what you most need to learn, because mm-hmm. I had tons of it, tons of more than the average, you know, person. I just got so carried away with that thought, I lost where I was going. Do you remember where I was?
Well, we were actually talking about experiencing the emotions, and you had mentioned that children, they don't attach. They don't attach
right.
to the moment. They experience the experience at the moment the experience is happening, and then they move on. Just like, you know, the child hurts, wah, 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 ow, 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 and then they see a butterfly go by. Oh, wow, butterfly. And we need to learn to kind of do the same thing as far as those unfulfilled dreams.
Well, what I was saying about the body is that you can literally, you know, people say, well, it's not practical. Well, yes, it is. I have been at a party, and this just happened 2 days ago. I was at a party, something happened, and I noticed I was triggered. Now, in my book, which distilled all this down to 16 insights, there's certain clues about whether or not you're triggered, and they're very simple. You know, if your breathing it gets fast or shallow or blocked, if you notice there's tension or tightness in your body, emotionally you notice that you're feeling upset or not peaceful, in your mind, if you're noticing that you're arguing with what's going on, this shouldn't be happening, this always happens, it's not what I want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if spiritually you're feeling disconnected or separated or alone, you're charged, okay? My personal commitment is when I saw the price I paid for all the charge that I buried for so many decades, my intention now is to live free of charge. So I'm still, you know, clearing stuff, but I don't add new stuff because I see how toxic it is.
Yeah.
So, for example, what I start to say is when people say, oh, you can't do it in a business meeting or you can't do it at a party. Well, yes, you can. I was at a party the other day, and I noticed that I was really triggered by a conversation that was going on between a couple right in front of me. And what I noticed was that my belly was tight and that I was thinking I should do something about this. I was uncomfortable. I wanted to stop, you know, what was happening in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't the place for me to clear the charge.
It was my friend's birthday. Was not the place for me to clear the charge. But what I did do, which no one knew I was doing, is I used the 7 steps of clearing the charge right there in 10 seconds with nobody aware I was doing it. I took my inner eye, my breath, my awareness. I'm still looking. My physical eyes are still looking. I'm still nodding. Everybody thinks I'm still present. But my attention, I took it down to the tightness in my belly, okay? And I took my breath and awareness down to the tension in my belly, and I literally, on the inner, I said, I see you. In other words, I'm acknowledging that there's something there, okay? I see you. And then the next thing I said is, you know, I accept that you're there. You have a right to be there. This is the opposite of what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
We don't need to transmute it. We don't need to take it to another level. The most basic form of love is acceptance. And the key to unlocking emotional charge is to go hang out with it and accept it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I wrapped it like a mother would with a brand new baby that's crying. I wrapped it in a sphere of my own love and said, I hear you. You know, I see that there's something here. I care about you. And then I went the next step, which you can do once you have a better relationship with your body. I said, and sweetheart, I can't do this with you right now, okay? But I promise you I will come back. In meditation tomorrow morning, I'll come back, and I want you to show me what's here, okay? I'll hang out with you. And I literally do that. And so my body relaxed, you know, at the party. And the next morning I went into meditation, and what came up for me was a moment where my parents had been arguing, and I was afraid my father was going to hit my mother. And I was 3 years old. And so I went in and let the part of the body know that I didn't have to take responsibility for the adults. You know, wasn't my job.
Wow. Well, that's extremely important that we not only clear the charges that are already there, but not add more to them as we are clearing the old ones. And that's an extremely important lesson that we can learn through the book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge. And I'm curious if the title of this book, especially Free of Charge, most people are going to think, well, with no cost. Was that intentional? And because I know you and I understand what the word charge means now, but until I open the book up and I start reading it and understanding what you mean by charge, the first thought that comes to my mind is as a monetary thing. Was there some kind of a thought in that regard as far as getting people's attention to take a look inside?
It was intended to be a triple entendre, actually.
Okay.
It was a triple entendre. There are multiple layers to it.
Yeah.
It's basically saying that this is a gift you can give yourself that will cost you nothing and give you everything.
Mm-hmm. Adara Andriana is my guest, and we're talking about loving yourself free of charge, clearing the emotional blocks that stop you. And before we go any further, I'll certainly mention your website, which is rainbowcreators.com. That's rainbowcreators.com. You appear on the back of the book.
Yes.
That's not 270-some-odd pounds.
No.
At least not on my scale.
No, it's not.
How long did that take you to release?
Oh, gosh. The whole process has taken me probably 7 years.
Okay. And we're not going into any diets, folks, because the diet was releasing the charge.
Yeah.
That was it right there. The book is available through your website. We are linked to your website as well. I want to find out. I've come up with a couple of standard questions that I like to ask my guests, especially new guests on the program. Who is Adara Andriana?
Who is Adara Andriana? Well, I may answer this in the most bizarre way that you've had it answered. I'm an undoing. I'm a being that's in the process of unhooking any program that I previously created around who I thought that was. And that came out of my work with this as well. I've realized that what real freedom is, Richard, for me, what real freedom is for me to be so centered in my I am, in my heart, in the moment, right, that I can move in an instant in any direction, in any polarity, have an experience, reset back in my I am, and then have another experience. So I have been realizing that while identities served me earlier on, they really don't serve me now. They're held in place by charge. So I am she who is working to have no answer to that question.
Okay. Why this? Why now?
Why this? Why now? Well, the why this is if I wanted to stay alive, and I did, there was no other choice for me. And why now? Because I believe it is the single most pressing issue facing us as a collective on the planet right now. None of the other issues, I believe, will get solved if we don't step up and handle this emotional piece that we've been suppressing for thousands of years.
Hmm. Was there ever a time in any of your near-death experiences where you didn't want to come back?
Where I didn't want to what?
Come back.
There, no question, because we're whole beings, and so there's a part of me that desires to die to every bit as strong as the part of me that desires to live. And that's one of the things that I've gotten in touch with, is being authentic in my wholeness. So absolutely, there are moments where it was way too much for me, way too painful, way too long, way too much money, way too little support, way too dark for me, where if I had had my heart's desire, I would have transitioned.
And what do you hope to achieve through this book and through this work?
I can't answer that really simply. If even one person picks it up and sees how incredibly simple and easy it can be to clear yourself of these things that we've been shackled with that feel impossible, that hold us back, if even one person uses my book to free themselves, every bit of what I went through will be worth it for me.
Adara Andriana, can you give us a little background on the name?
Yes, actually, I can. On the other side of all of this, I had a huge spiritual awakening, and my whole life changed. I used to be a corporate executive, and I was fired because I had a spiritual awakening. I didn't fit anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in my process where whenever somebody called me by my own name, I felt like I was on a vaudeville stage, and somebody had one of those shepherd's hooks crooked out, and they were pulling me back into an identity that I actually had already left and a vibration that didn't match. And I got guided to go to a bookstore, a esoteric bookstore, and I bought two books on sacred sounds and was guided, and only took 3 or 4 weeks. Once a week, I'd go in for maybe half an hour and just write down the sounds that meant the most to me. And I woke up one morning and heard, "You have your name." And I only had a page and a half of sounds, and they wove together into Adara Andriana. And it turns out that Adara, the first name, is a global peace name, because I've had people come up to me from countries that are at war, and the sound means the same thing even in countries whose cultures are in conflict.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for sharing your time and your story with us here on the program. Adara Andriana has been my guest, and she has a website. It's called rainbowcreators.com, and a book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge. And we encourage you to check out her website and the book. You can actually see a sample of the book going through her website. It's a PDF on the web. And
actually, a flip book.
A flip book, which I think is kind of cool. I was flipping through that thing. As a matter of fact, I was reading some of it, but then I thought, I'm having too much fun flipping. This is, it's like,
exactly.
Wow, this is cool. Well, again, thank you so much for taking time and sharing with us, and we look forward to having you back again, because that's a subject, sacred sounds, that I want to get into in the near future.
Great. I'd love to. Thank you, Richard.
Great. Any final thoughts?
Yes. It's as simple as being willing to feel and face what you avoided before, and charge can be handled as simply as taking your breath and awareness into the part of your body that's tight, with a willingness to accept what's there, to feel it, to let it flow, and to make a choice to let go of old identities that don't serve you anymore.
And until next Saturday at 3 p.m., I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story. Love to Lal.